Good morning. The Mary Griffith Show is underway. Talk Radio 930 WTAD, sponsored by Harvest Ridge Coffee. Premier coffee roasted and delivered in small batches. The beans are always fresh. Now, here we just get the regular house blend, the signature blend. You know, it pleases most people in an office setting. But if you're buying it at your home, of course, you can get Highlander Grog or Extreme Blend or Kona Blend, Colombian Supreme, whatever you like. You can have that, and you can also, of course, get it when you're out and about at any of our fine convenience stores that carry Harvest Ridge Coffee. And we thank Pepsi for always being a great sponsor of the Mary Griffith Show. This morning, we turn our attention to the Historical Society of Quincy and Adams County. Lynn Snyder is here. So is Beth Young. We're going to put Lynn up first because one of the more popular events that the Historical Society does each year, and we're almost wondering if there was a way we could triple it, but there's not, because there's only so many days in the month and there's only so many people that can get in one space at one time, and that is the ever popular Halloween themed ghost tours at Woodland Cemetery. And it's only $15, which is quite reasonable. And these well-informed docents portray different people in Quincy's past, and you're walked through a guided tour at Woodland Cemetery, and it could be a little bit spooky, but that's okay. And so, Lynn Snyder, every year you try something a little bit different. And so tell us about the themes this year for these Saturday night and Halloween events, please.
Well, we have four Saturday nights and Halloween, so 5 weeks, four Saturdays and one Thursday. I think Halloween's on a Thursday. And on the first weekend, we have a special evening of what we're calling, what's called Ghosts of Shiloh. That's also, as you, I'm sure you'll hear in a moment, that's also the weekend of the Civil War Symposium. And there are, excuse me, some wonderful stories that will be told about the men and women who were involved in that early pivotal battle. And I won't say any more because I'm sure that Beth can fill you in.
Okay, you're my thunder.
Well, talk about, okay, so Shiloh, so, I mean, those who are particularly interested in Shiloh, there will be a guest there that's very high-powered, so that should be, you should make your reservations now for October 5th, because that's the only
night. That's the only night.
That that's going to happen. So that's October 5th. Get your reservations in. I'm going to give you a number, because this fills up so quickly. People are always so disappointed, so don't wait till Halloween and then say, oh, I couldn't get in. It's 222-1835. It's only $15 per person. On the 12th, the 19th, the 26th, and again on Halloween, we do have some special events.
We do. Though. And I just want to add that there are four tours each evening. So there's a 5:30, a 6, a 6:30, and a 7. You can choose your time to start the tour. They usually last about 40 or 45 minutes. So there's, and I think we try to keep them to about 20 to 25 people per tour, just to make sure that the groups are small and everyone has a good time.
And so that they can hear the docent and stuff.
Right. Okay. So tell us about these special events.
On the 12th and the 26th, they're alternating. On the 12th and the 26th, we have Musical Spirits. And this one has turned out to be just a wonderful adventure, exploring some of the personalities that contributed to culture, if you want to call it that, in Quincy, musicians, and we kind of sneak in a few of the characters in Quincy, like Nathan Pinkham is one who built the opera house right next door here. He started. He's a very
right now,
interesting
where the parking
character.
Lot is,
yes,
is what you
yes,
mean. Yes,
yes. One of the early opera houses.
The ghost of the opera house.
Yes.
Haunts WTAD parking lot.
There you go.
Very good.
Excellent. Excellent. We have, and we're trying this year something a little new. We've tried it a couple times in the past. We're going to have a few musical interludes because we're talking about musical spirits. So I can guarantee. I should say that. I believe it's going to be a great time.
Well, you can guarantee it'll be.
So that's on the 12th and the 22nd. Then on the 19th and on Halloween evening and the same times, there are four tours an evening, we are looking at personages from Quincy who were involved in World War II, which is a huge subject, obviously. But we have some really interesting people who did really interesting things, including, I will say a name, Allie Limonstall, who every person in every being in Quincy who's a river person or a Hunter Fisher River person would know the name of Allie Limonstall. But what's interesting is he also had a really amazing career in World War II that I didn't know about. And I remember people talking about him. And
More than a duck hunter. More than a rower.
Yes, yes. Well, I think that was his dad, actually, that was the rower.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So he came by the outdoors part naturally. We also have some pilots, a Navy man, women in USO, and actually the Red Cross was quite active in World War II with these Red Cross camps that were very much like the USO camps. And we have some rather exotic people for that tour also. So
okay. Well, it's exciting. You're going to learn a little bit, but you're also going to be in the graveyard, and it's a guided tour. And so, you know, you may see some things that you have never noticed before. I always look at it as the appetizer to come back the next day during
yes.
the daylight hours, if you'd
yes.
like, and continue to explore Woodland Cemetery. Now, the $15 fee, there are four slots every night. There are five times, including the next one, which is Shiloh Civil War on October 5th. So please call today to get on that list, because this always sells out.
It does. If there are one or two people, we do get walk-ins. We accommodate them if possible. We rarely turn people away.
But we don't
recommend it, because it's disappointing for us to not be able to accommodate people, and it's certainly disappointing to make the decision to come down and be at that beautiful place and find out that there's just no way that we can add more people to this.
So please call ahead for reservations and call the Historical Society of Quincy and Adams County, 222-1835. Okay, now we turn our attention to Beth Young, who is going to tell us a little bit about the Civil War Symposium. This has been done in Quincy for years, and it's absolutely free of charge. And you would have to pay hundreds of dollars to go to a two-day symposium anywhere else, Gettysburg or anywhere else. You'd have to pay buku bucks, but the Tri-State Civil War Roundtable and the Historical Society of Quincy and Adams County bring this symposium right here to Quincy. It is October 4th and 5th. And so, Beth, tell us a little bit about this symposium and what's new and exciting this year.
Well, the speakers, some of them are repeats, but their topics are entirely different. And before I launch into that, I would like to mention that we get a lot of sponsorships from the community. I mean, that's how we can offer it free of charge. We have about 40 people, businesses also, and so that's how we're able to do it. One of our speakers, repeat from last year's, Dr. Timothy Smith, and he's from University of Tennessee. And he's going to speak about his new book, and it's a biography of Albert Sidney Johnston. Johnston was killed at Shiloh. Unfortunately, he didn't realize that he had been shot, and blood gushed into his boot and stuff, and he was still busy fighting, and he bled to death. A tourniquet would have saved his life. So Dr. Smith is going to talk about him. And that's at 7 o'clock Friday night. At about 8:10, the second speaker Friday night is Dr. Harry Laver, who teaches in the War College at Fort Leavenworth, and his topic is going to be three Illinois generals, McClernand and Logan, and my personal favorite, U.S. Grant. Some of us have heard Dr. Laver speak in St. Louis, and he's quite good. Saturday morning at 8 o'clock, from 8 to 9, we have what we call the early bird session. And those are like 15-minute slots, as opposed to the regular sessions, which are like 45 minutes and then Q&A. First on the early bird is Dr. J. Matthew Ward from QU. He's written a book about New Orleans in the Civil War, and it's just been released by Louisiana University Press. He'll talk about that. Then our own orthopedic doctor, George Cricard, is going to talk for 15 minutes or so about Lincoln's maladies, the different health problems that Lincoln faced. And the third early bird is a woman from Wisconsin, whom we have met. She came to visit the mansion, and things just have developed. She is producing a video of 15 people who are Quincyans buried in Woodland Cemetery. And those videos, they're divided into three categories, like a movers and shakers category, a military category, and a medical category. And those, when they're finished, will be available to schools and service clubs and different ones who might want to borrow them to use them for programming. The public schools and the society and the Civil War Roundtable are financing that. We will share with county schools, parochial schools, but all that, our executive director has been gone for about a year, and all of that kind of arrangement is above my pay grade, and I don't know anything about it. So he will be working with her about how that's distributed and how computer access will be offered.
Well, it's nice to know, though, that we're going to have that. That's great.
Yep, we hope so. We hope, it's giving a lesson in local history. So then the regular session on Saturday, the first speaker is Kurt Fields, and he's been here for 4 out of the 5 symposia. And he this time will talk about how Grant saved Lee. You know, after the war, a number of people wanted to have Lee executed for treason. And Grant had made a promise at Appomattox and other places that there would be no lethal recrimination, so to speak. And he demanded
He saved his life, but they still took all of his property and made Arlington National Cemetery.
Well, that had already been done, and yes.
There were repercussions but he wasn't executed for treason or anything.
No,
His life was saved, and
yes.
That's good. That's good.
Kurt's presentation is at 9. 10:15, Brian Fox Ellis, who's from Bishop Hill, Illinois, he portrays different individuals, and he's going to talk about Captain Henry Detweiler, who was a riverboat captain operating out of Peoria, and he was on riverboats. He captained riverboats that hauled troops and supplies and stuff on both the Illinois and Mississippi rivers. And the final speaker at 11:30 Saturday is Dr. Sam Wheeler, who used to be the state historian for the state of Illinois. He now has another job with the state, and he's going to talk about Mary Lincoln's mental issues and how her son Robert played into that. So that's it for the Civil War Symposium, but at 2 o'clock that afternoon, we have that we're helping with Civil War Symposium, sort of, it adds to, one works with the other before the ghost tours at night. And the Sons of the Revolution, the American Revolution, their closest chapters in Jacksonville, but they have approached the Historical Society and Woodland Cemetery personnel about having a rededication of a new marker for Dr. Daniel Wood, who's John Wood's father. And they've built a beautiful case, presented it to the Historical Society last night, beautiful case for Dr. Daniel Wood's saber. And there's supposed to be, if I understand correctly, the Riderless Horse group from Fort Riley, Kansas, is supposed to be bringing a horse to the ceremony.
That would be great. The Riderless Horse. I mean, that's a great honor to be given.
Well, and I assume there'll be someone with him because he can't drive from Kansas to Quincy, I wouldn't think.
Well, no, I don't think they're going to walk the horse over here and head a high gallop.
Right.
The whole group will come, yes, and one horse will be chosen for this specific honor. That is just fantastic, and that leads right into then the first night at the grave for the tours. And again, the Shiloh, all those Civil War people will be there. I'm sure that probably they'll have their own special group tour just a few moments before 5:30. They probably will get a preview of what's going on.
And yes, we did plan this. Now,
yeah.
I don't know how it will work, but it was planned. There are going to be a couple Legion groups at the 2 o'clock rededication, and There'll be several things going on there, too.
I want to ask you the all-important question, because I've been a member of the Historical Society and a volunteer for many, many years, and I don't know if this is rumor or if this is true. Is it true that Dr. Daniel Wood, the father of John Wood, that part of him is buried in Quincy and another part of him is buried back home in New York?
I have no idea, and I don't suppose that we will ever know. I, too, have heard the story. I don't pass it along. Lynn, do you have any thoughts on the subject?
I don't. I've actually heard both versions of this story as body parts go.
Yeah, so we don't. This is like, just like Dr. Todd Pettit says, when you see a thread on the internet, don't repost it.
Exactly.
Not everything you hear, either from Historical Society volunteers or other people, is true.
Right.
So we're going to put that rumor to rest. We do not know.
We do not know.
It's a wonderful rumor.
There are.
It's not verified.
If you look at some of the photographs from the Civil War era of the battlefields, and you see the body recovery. I'm not saying that that has anything directly to do with this, but also the burial practices from that time period, that often, even when they went deliberately to recover a body, they could only find part, or they found part and they passed on. So it's the culture and the era are rife with those kinds of events and incidences, and how this got started. I have done some reading and tried to find where it might have gotten its start, and I've gotten some little hints that are older than any of us are anyway, but no, we don't know.
Okay. Well, we don't know, but we do know that the Historical Society is having their tours every Saturday night and Halloween at Woodland Cemetery, and we know there are only 30 seats left, and Beth Young... it doesn't cost anything to go, but, I mean, do we just show up?
No. As you say, we have about 30 seats left, but you have to be registered because of fire regulations. This is the Kroc Center, and we try very diligently to follow all the recommendations. You call the society and get registered, and it's the same phone number, the 222-1835. It is at no cost because we have all these wonderful sponsors who have given us money. Could I add, we're also going to have some books there by the various authors, books for sale if people would be interested in buying, like Dr. Ward's book or Dr. Smith's book or Dr. Laver's books, in as much as they might be interested in that. We have.
You can get an autographed copy that way.
That would be right.
Okay. But
I think we have some of those at the...
Yeah, that's where we're relying on those six copies of Timothy Smith's
okay.
Book on the Grierson Raid, yeah. Yes.
Okay, well, folks, we're out of time, but visit the Civil War Symposium the Friday night, October 4th, and Saturday, October 5th, and then go for the Shiloh Ghost Tour at Woodland Cemetery that night. Coming up, ways to improve your hearing. But first, we head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative. Pioneer Seed brings you this report.
We're back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD, and my guest today is an audiologist with Blessing Health Systems, Carly Williams, and I'm so grateful that she's on the show today, and yet there's kind of an irony that we're on radio, and you're talking about people with hearing loss, but this is important because people listening to the Mary Griffith Show can learn a lot about how to help their loved ones accept that they have hearing loss and get some help for it. And there's a lot of help available, and there's very good medical reasons to get help for your hearing loss. So first, tell us a little bit about yourself, please.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me today. I actually just started at Blessing in August, but I've been an audiologist for 14 years and previously was working in Burlington for several years. I am from Hamilton, Illinois, originally, and moved away for school, and then we moved back to the area several years ago. So
we're glad to have you here. Burlington's loss is our gain. Okay. We're glad to have you here in practice at Blessing Health System. Let's talk a little bit about hearing loss. What causes hearing loss? And I understand it's on the rise.
Yes. So especially as the baby boomer generation ages, hearing loss is definitely becoming more prevalent. One in three over age 65 has some amount of hearing loss. And so you can imagine as the boomers are getting older, that's just going to be more numbers. Many things can cause it though. So even younger people can get hearing loss. Obviously things that are well known like noise exposure and genetics, but there are lots of health issues that have hearing loss as a side effect or can increase your risk of hearing loss, such as heart disease. If you're diabetic, you're twice as likely to get hearing loss. High blood pressure, lots of different kidney dysfunction. So many, many things, including chemicals that you might use at work, medications you might have to take. So chemotherapy, some chemotherapy medications have a side effect of hearing loss. So lots of things, and usually we don't know exactly which one thing caused your hearing loss. It's probably a number of things.
One of the most well-noted people with hearing loss was Rush Limbaugh, the late Rush Limbaugh,
yes,
a radio announcer, and a friend of mine who's a pharmacy technician. When he went deaf suddenly, she said, oh, I bet he has an addiction to prescription opioids. And he did.
Yes.
Rush had to later come out and admit that he had become addicted to painkillers, to opioid strength, and that robbed him of his hearing. He was able to get a cochlear implant, and he was able to, even before that, continue his radio career because of other adaptations like closed captioning, etc. So a lot of people lose their hearing for a lot of reasons. And hearing loss, it's kind of like nobody likes to wear eyeglasses. You don't want to be called four eyes, I guess, although most people do wear glasses because not wearing them seriously limits the quality of their life. But hearing loss, some people are still very resistant. So how do you encourage someone who you know has hearing loss but has never been tested? How do you encourage them to take those first steps?
Well, I think one thing, a lot of times it's family members that are encouraging them. I have countless people come in and I'll ask, you know, what brings you in today? My wife. Or my kids tell me I'm not hearing. I'm just here to shut them up, basically. And so we'll do the hearing test, and most of the time they do have hearing loss. It does sneak up on you a lot of times. It happens so slowly, people will come in and they think, well, everyone's just mumbling. So-and-so talks too fast. They are too soft. And what's really happening is you have hearing loss that you're not aware of, and that's making it sound like people are mumbling. It's making it harder to hear in noise. It's not that the restaurant is so loud that no one can hear. You are just having trouble hearing in noise because you've got hearing loss. And so I would encourage anyone whose family is starting to notice them needing things to be repeated more often, to come in and just get a baseline. You know, it's not going to hurt to just get a hearing test. You get to decide what you do after that, but it's important to know where you stand.
I've heard from other audiologists who have been on the Mary Griffith Show that hearing loss does not cause Alzheimer's, but it can quicken the deterioration from Alzheimer's because your brain is not getting the signals and stimulation it needs by active conversation with other people or by listening to a television broadcast or the news on the radio. So you're not getting that stimulation that you need to keep your brain healthy.
Yeah, so hearing loss can lead to more social isolation, which can greatly affect quality of life. It also leads to higher anxiety and depression, not just for the person that has hearing loss, but also some research shows for their significant other, because they're missing out or they're having to be the communicative partner in the relationship and take on more responsibilities because their spouse can't hear well. But it does, many studies have shown now that hearing loss increases the risk of dementia. It doesn't cause dementia, but it increases the risk. And the more hearing loss you have as it goes untreated, the higher the risk. So mild hearing loss, you're twice as likely, you know, your risk increases times two. If you get up to moderate, it's times three, and severe is times five. And so it's not just, oh, I have hearing loss, I'm at this higher risk. As you let it progress more and more without doing anything about it, your risk increases. And there's a study by Lancet that shows that hearing loss is actually the largest modifiable risk factor for dementia.
That is good to know, because it's something we can modify and do something about. While you were speaking, I just turned my headphones down. We joke at the Radio Ranch here that I'm the only one that can still hear. Everybody else is just off the chart how loud their headphones are. This is very common in my industry and why I have my ears tested regularly. It's also young children wearing headphones. They're all wearing headphones now. I'm going to be volunteering in the second grade classroom today. They're all going to have their headphones on. They get to kind of set their own limit. Really loud headphone note. I can't talk. Really loud headphone noise can cause hearing loss, and it just is a cumulative effect that can start when you're 5, 6, 7, 14, 23, 48. It cascades.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Wearing earbuds, parents need to really be cautious of what kind of earbuds they get for their children. They have volume-limiting earbuds that can actually limit how loud they can get. And so even if your child turns the volume all the way up, it's not actually going to a loudness that's going to cause damage in the long term. Now, as your kids get older and they get into the teenage years or even adults, it's a little bit harder to control that, right? And adults need to be cautious of it too. People who are in the gym or out running near traffic and they ramp their earbuds up so they can hear the music, you really have to be cautious of that to make sure you're not going to be causing lifelong damage.
Well, like most things in life, your grandma was right. Things you do when you're 15, 25, and 35 come back to haunt you when you're 65 and 75. And this is why it's so critically important, because I guarantee you no 15-year-old cares if their hearing's going to be impacted when they're 65, because just like everybody told me things I was doing would come back to haunt me, I said, who wants to live to be that old anyway? I mean, I'm at the age now where if you'd have asked me 50 years ago, I would have said, oh, no, just voluntarily put me down. I've changed my opinion.
I bet.
I've changed my opinion just a little bit. Our guest today is Carly Williams, an audiologist with Blessing Health. She's a Hamilton native. She has 14 years experience as an audiologist. She's new to the Blessing Health System, and we're so glad that she's here. We're going to take a break and come back. We're going to talk about some treatments for hearing loss. We're just 9 minutes away from Fox News at the top of the hour. Improving care for patients with hearing loss is what we're talking about today. Carly Williams is an audiologist with Blessing Health. She lives in Hamilton, Illinois. We're glad that she helps us with our hearing needs. What are some things that can be done? Because, boy, hearing aids, they're over the counter now almost. And that may be good or bad, you know. What can you do for a patient that has hearing loss? And I'm sure it's as varied as the individual patient. There's no one size fits all. But talk about maybe your top five helps.
Yeah, so it does vary. You're absolutely right. The over-the-counter hearing aids are made for mild to moderate hearing loss. So the issue there is, how do you know if you have mild to moderate hearing loss if you haven't gotten your hearing tested? So my recommendation always is to get a hearing test first, and then let an audiologist guide you through what's going to be the most appropriate option for you. So if you come in and you have mild to moderate hearing loss, I will tell you if an over-the-counter device would be an option and what the difference is between that and a prescription hearing aid. Prescription hearing aids are programmed specifically for your hearing and can get a lot stronger than an over-the-counter device.
And isn't part of the problem like high tones or low tones when you have hearing loss? You sometimes can't hear the highest high tone or the lowest low tone, so that hearing aid can help dial those in a little bit better for your hearing.
Yes, so we test each frequency in the speech range, and then we program the hearing aid based on what the hearing loss is at that specific frequency. So if you don't have hearing loss in the low pitches, for example, we don't amplify that. We only amplify where you have hearing loss, which is what can be different and sound better than an over-the-counter device, because they're more one-size-fits-all type of devices.
Sure. It's like Dr. Dan Hayden says, hey, you know, I'll give you an eye exam, and if you need cheaters, go down to the drugstore and buy a $5 pair. But I'm going to tell you if that's not going to be good enough for you.
Yes. That's exactly right. And there are a lot of parallels that we draw between optometry and audiology, because I think a lot of people understand the vision side of things a little better. But yeah, it is. It's similar to readers. You wouldn't just give readers to a child, and just like over-the-counter hearing aids are not for 18 and under. And you will get to a point where readers are not appropriate for you. And that's how hearing aids are as well. So those are two options. There are also other options. We have patients who come in who maybe already have dementia and live, you know, in a nursing home and just need something to hear the TV better or hear their, you know, one-on-one conversation better when their family comes to visit. That's a situation where we might recommend a personal amplifier instead of hearing aids because they're easier to use, harder to lose, which is sometimes good in those types of facilities. And also, it's not something that is difficult to put in or care for. You don't have to remember to charge it. The batteries last a lot longer. And so it can be good for that specific situation.
Okay, personal amplification. And again, that's specifically so you can listen to the radio, listen to TV, and talk to another human. Hearing the birds chirp may not be what that's programmed to do.
Yeah, it's simply going to turn everything up. And it's not obviously our first choice, but there are some people who just simply can't handle caring for hearing aids at some points in their life.
Yes. And that's, again, that's such an individual choice. It's like it's better than nothing.
Yes.
And this is what you can do. There are hearing aids now that my friends that have these hearing aids, when their phone rings, it goes right into their hearing aid.
Yes.
So they don't have to, because I've noticed, this is me, if I'm talking, my husband says I'm always yelling at him, but I noticed that if I want him to talk louder, I talk louder, and that's going to help him talk louder, which it doesn't. He just says, quit yelling at me, and I say, well, then you speak up, and that's part of our own social thing, but a lot of times, you know, you tend to yell at people who are hard of hearing. That doesn't really help.
No, yelling does not help. It actually distorts your speech more. And so I would recommend looking at the person, getting rid of competing noise. So, you know, making sure the TV is on mute or you turn the water off if you're doing the dishes. So facing them, getting rid of competing noise, making sure you're in a well-lit room, that you're not sitting with your, you know, chin rested on your hand and you're covering half of your mouth. You want them to be able to see you speaking. But the big thing is slowing down. So not just talking louder, especially if they have hearing aids, they don't need you to be louder, but they might need you to talk more slowly and more clearly and enunciate.
Okay. So there's lots of options. The best thing to do is just have your hearing checked. Now, a lot of times when people go into Blessing Hospital, they're talking with their doctor. I always say, always bring someone with you no matter what, just because you're not going to remember everything, especially if you get a diagnosis that's kind of a, oh my gosh, then you want somebody there to help you. But in hospital setting, there are some things to help people. We've only got about 2 minutes left, but
yeah.
Can you tell us what Blessing Hospital does to help people who come into your emergency room or come in as an inpatient or an outpatient so that while they're there, communication is more efficient?
Yes, so we have amplified telephones. So in a patient's room, they can, you know, get an amplifier in there so they can hear the phone calls better. We also have those personal amplifiers I talked about earlier, where if someone comes in and they're not hearing well, or let's say they're in there for an extended period and something happens to their hearing aid and it's not working well, you know, for the short term, they could borrow a personal amplifier from the hospital while they're there so that they can hear what the nurses are asking them or, you know, the doctor's recommendations. And then also making sure we give out printed materials so that they've got that to review when they get home, because there is a lot of research about how much is forgotten during even just a routine medical visit.
That happens whether you can hear or not, because, yeah. And one thing that's interesting here, if a patient has a smartphone, they can download a free app called NowScribe that will give them real-time captioning of live speech. So not only can you read what the doctor is saying to you, and I'm sure there'll be some mistakes because it's just whatever, but you can save that then. So if you have to go to the meeting alone, You can record that on your smartphone. It'll caption it for you, and you can read it back or show it to your loved ones.
Yes, the technology these days is amazing, and live captioning is one of the things that cell phones can help with. And they can also, there are apps also that will caption your phone calls. And so having that, the words, as long as your vision is good, you know, if that's a problem, that makes it harder. But as long as your vision is good, having the words come up in addition to hearing the speech can be very helpful.
Well, we're excited about you coming in. Thank you so very much, Carly Williams, for spending some of your valuable time today. She's an audiologist at Blessing Health, and the most important thing you can do, folks, let's face it, you've got to get in and get your hearing tested. So do that, please. Thank you so very much.
Thank you.